Celebrate mamas today. And every one of us can celebrate our mamas. You know, and I know some like, yeah, but you didn't know my mama. But you celebrate that mama brought you into the world. Amen. Because God had a plan and purpose for your life from the very beginning. You know? And some of us might be sitting here today, we might be in our maturing ages, and we're not sure what that purpose is yet. You know, you look at, we'll pick on Starkey for a moment, okay? 40 years I was a cop. People go, man, that was your purpose in life, was to be a cop. But then I become a pastor. Your purpose in life to be a pastor. Okay, but maybe the purpose in my life, the main purpose, I mean, he's gone. Is my son Ryan. Maybe the whole purpose that God brought me and my wife together 42 years ago was birthed into this world, Ryan, in order for God to do what he wants to do for whatever it is. I mean, we don't know. But it seems like we're never done, are we, guys? We just go from one season to another. And then some of us today, some of us drove cars down here, did we not? Some of us walked down. Some of us bummed the ride down, right? It doesn't matter how you got here. You got here. And folks, the same way with our lives. No matter how you were, why you were brought into this world, it doesn't make no difference. God had a plan and purpose. He was brought you into this world for a reason. I know a lot of times, especially when it comes to the church, if we just have this, I don't know, we get this churchy thing about us. We can. And we come to church and sometimes, man, well, I don't know. I'm not worthy enough to be in church. Or how can I be in church, man, the stuff I've been doing? Okay? What's a better place to go? Hey, man, what's a better place? I mean, don't you love jumping in the shower when you get dirty all day long and get washed off? That's just it. God came for fellowship with us. Think about it. God personally knows each one of us. He knows us by name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He had it all planned for us before we even was birthed. Think of that. He has plans for each one of us. Now, the thing about these plans, you think, well, was his plan for me to go through this and this? No. His plans are for us, and he says that those plans are not to harm us, but it's for our welfare, our goodness, okay? But those plans doesn't take place, and so we start following those plans, right? Amen. It's kind of like if I go to John Kermit, he said, John, I'm going to build me a house. He said, well, I got these plans for it, so I don't need them plans, John. And I start building my house, John, my own way I want to. Who wants to walk in my house? Nobody does. Yeah, if I finally come to the point, okay, let me see them plans you got for me. Oh, man. Next thing I knew, I got to tear down this wall and that wall. Some of the stuff I got to throw away completely. But once I get the plans in my hands, I can start having my house built the way it's supposed to be. And folks, that's the way we are today. I don't care how old you are. You can be 5 years old today or you can be 105 years old. God's plans hasn't changed. And as we receive Him and start following plans, our lives will change. Change in a way that pleases Him and brings a peace into our life. Wow. Sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. Some of us are sitting here today and with you, you bring a name or a reputation that you got over the years. And no one wants nothing to do with you. We heard about them Starkeys. Them Lawrences. And Fishers, watch out here, oh boy, we heard about you. But don't worry about them. It's God, your God, who created you, that has a plan and purpose and a love for you that's unconquering. Hey, we all come from somewhere, amen? Amen? We all come from somewhere. But people have a habit at times they make themselves feel better by slapping you and talking about you. Well, at least we're making somebody feel better, right? Amen. 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 But when we understand that, man, God loves us just the way we are and He wants to be involved in our life to help us and bring us to what He wants us to be in the very beginning, man, it makes a difference. And I asked my wife to share a song with us this morning. I'm the type of person, I hear it, if I can sing it or read it, I retain it more. And you're going to know this song. This song is about a guy named King David. Now, King David was an awesome man. If you remember, anybody remember King David, or you don't remember, but you heard about him, okay? Amen. I mean, he was king. I mean, he killed a lion when he was a youngster, and a bear. I mean, he was the original Daniel Boone. But do you realize that he wasn't liked by his family? His father's name was Jesse. His daddy had seven brothers. He had seven kids. Maybe even a daughter, I believe. But his family couldn't stand him. People in the community, man, they blamed him for everything. You know why? Because Jesse, I won't get the whole lineage and stuff here, that's a big Jewish teaching. But Jesse was concerned at one time that, man, that somehow he displeased God, his lineage isn't correct, and his name won't be remembered. So he thought, wow, it must be my wife's fault. Come on. And I think his wife's name was Nephthys. I'm terrible at pronouncing these names. So he got this idea. He said, number one, I'm going to quit having a relationship with my missus. I'm going to take any more chances of displeasing God. So they were done with intimacy. And as time went on, he thought, man, I got to make sure that my lineage is there. So he got this idea. This is a guy's idea. Maybe my wife's handmaiden. Maybe I'll have a child with her. And that might... I might please God. Now, you see where we're going with this? That sound kind of familiar, Abraham and Sarah? Apparently he never read the... Okay. So he goes to handmaiden and says, this is what I want to do. You know, and of course, he owned her. So he picked out a night that he was going to do this, okay? But the handmaiden loved his wife so much, she told him of this plan. So what did they do? They would switcheroo. Kind of like Rachel and Leah, okay, if you remember them. So when he went that night, it was actually his wife. He had no idea. He had no idea this lady he'd been married to, that was her. I mean, I don't understand. But next thing we know, his wife has a child. And he gets upset. You must be out there running around on me. They're all convinced that the child that she is carrying comes from outside of marriage. Oh, my lands. And so when David is born, the brother wants nothing to do with him. People, the dad, I mean, look at this. They blamed him for everything. He brought dishonor to the house. Maybe that sounds like some of us. Man, you're bringing disgrace in the household. Look what you've done. I've got a name, I got a reputation to uphold. Look what you're doing. Oh. And this is David going through this in life. That's why one reason he's a shepherd boy. He's out away from the house. He's doing the lowest job out there. And then here comes God. Samuel to anoint a king. He goes to Jesse. Look at all his kids. Let's see. Nah, too tall. Too short. And he goes, listen, I know God told me that one of your sons will sit on the throne. This is all you have? Well, I got this redheaded kid up there on the hill. Folks, this is what's going on. Understand. They despised him. He's up there. Well, let's bring him. They brought David, this David, down that no one wanted anything to do with, blame them for everything. He says, that's the man. And he was anointed to be king of Israel. Wow. Think of that. Can you imagine his mama rejoicing? She knew she did no wrong. She knew she did right. And she went through time and time again of ridicule and people talking about her. No matter how many times she explained it, no, that was me. They ever tell the truth and they want to believe you no matter how bad you tell them? Because if they want to believe, you can't change your mind. She went through all this. But now, wow, her son is going to be king. Think for a moment. I mean, I knew a lot of brothers had to get upset. My land, but for a moment, let's think. Tim, raise your hand, Tim. Oh, yeah, two Tims back here. I'll use both of you. Okay. Let's say we all picked on you guys all the time. Brother, they're good. I tell you what. You guys sit in the rear of the church. You have to. You ain't sitting up here, okay? Now all of a sudden we find out they're the new pastors. We're going to be on their authority now. Wow, you talk about some sweating going on. You know what I'm saying? Oh, so a lot of things are going to be brought around. Those who are last shall be first, the Bible says, okay? But look what took place. When David might have been written off in the eyes of even his father, his earthly father, and his brothers and relatives, but God had a plan and purpose for him. You know? His mama, I mean, how many times his mama may have cried herself to sleep, God, why did I do it? Why did I do it? Why didn't I just have him do what he wanted to do with my handmaiden? My heart's breaking for my son. All the mistakes I've made. Wow. But look what God did. And folks, the same way with our mamas today. Our mamas and each one of us. You might be sitting here today and saying, man, you were a mistake. You were a mistake. No, I'm telling you what. If you was, you're the best mistake God could ever make. Because God takes mistakes. Boom, boom. You ever be making something and you mess it up and try to be something awesome? You ever cook and put the wrong ingredients in it and find out, man, this is the best thing I ever made. You know, and you can't quite remember how to make it again. Well, each one of us is the same way. God made us. God made us, man. That purpose. Yeah, he didn't make us to be religious stiff-necks. He made us to be in a relationship with Him. And you just keep our eyes on Him. And so this song is talking about King David. And really, I think we listen to it. We can put ourselves into it. Some of us can put our children into it. And we look at the hope of, you say, well, that's not me yet. Yes, it's not you yet. You haven't got there. I mean, this is what God will do in your life. Because He sees the plan and purpose. What we have to do is quit listening to the negativity of people and listen to God. Amen? Amen. I mean, I see it all the time on Facebook. You're not going to be on the throne. God is when I'm judged. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have to understand. And that God, He wants the best for us. And if He wants the best for us, who should we listen to? God. So why do we spend so much time listening to other people? Why do we spend so much time trying to please the people who can never be pleased anyway? Honor God, please Him, and the rest of the stuff will line up or go away, one of the two. But Carol, would you share this with us this morning? It's called Shepherd Boy. Some of you might be familiar with it. If you know, you're welcome to sing along. But I want to turn the lights down here a little bit while she sings. And
one by one, Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Well, each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. But when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come, dreams they get shattered. And sometimes it's so hard to understand that things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in His hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Well, He wasn't the oldest, and He wasn't the strongest chosen on that day. But some giants fell, and nations trembled when they stood in His way. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Yes, God will see that you're a king.
God be the glory. Amen. 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 Thank you, Carol. Amen.
Amen.
So who's the one that matters the most?
God.
So who should we listen to?
God.
Who should we please?
God,
amen. I mean, in reality, it's really simple in a way. At least it's simple to say. Listen to God and follow Him. And I'm telling you what, we could do that really easy if we just stayed here all the time. But the minute we walk out that door, wow. Life is out there. Challenges and temptations and stuff. So, but it's awesome coming in here to hear the Word of God give us strength when we go back out there. Because one thing, God doesn't want us to hide from the world. He just doesn't want us to be part of the worldly ways. You know, because, wow. There's so many folks out there. They don't know that God loves them. I mean, there's people right now walking past the church this morning, I would say. And they get this whole different attitude towards the church. They don't realize it's a house of God's love. Or really that we are the church. We're just a bunch of people gathering, worshiping the Lord and getting encouraged for another week. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where God's at. He cares for us. I mean, we have a hard time understanding the love that God has for us. Because we are so hard on ourselves that we never do things good enough. We never will in our eyes. But with God, through His Son Jesus, man, we have that relationship with Him. Amen. So, are you a king, I wonder? Or a queen? You don't know. You don't know He has a purpose. But in the Word of God here, as we share this morning, I'm speaking mostly in 1 Kings today. I'm in chapter 16 and 17. I'm going to write that down. I'll be going different verses. In case you want to read more later on, or even like getting that song, and we talked about earlier about King David. You look at King David's life, and you compare it to Jesus, you see so many things in comparison. Remember Jesus, his mother, Mary. They thought bad of her, you know that? Wasn't married and had a child coming? But they had a few good words to say about her, huh? But we know better, and God had a plan and purpose, amen?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to catch up in history here in 1 Kings chapter 16. I'm going to be around verse 24. I'm hitting and missing. So again, you can try to follow me today or write down the verse, the chapter, and later on this evening you're having your time with the Lord, or tomorrow read all of it entirely. But letting you know what's going on is that we had King David rose up to be king. And then next came his son, King Solomon. Remember Solomon? They say he was the wisest and the richest person to ever be upon the earth. A lot of wisdom. But Solomon, even all his splendor and all his touching by God, he messed up. You know that? He started marrying some ladies from a different tribe that he shouldn't have, because they were worshiping a false god. So, really, you look at the scriptures, there's nobody ever been perfect other than Jesus. And there was two people made pretty perfect called Adam and Eve, yes, until they fell into sin. Okay? So, don't matter, again, where our background's at, God can use us if we allow Him control of our life and receive that forgiveness for our sins. Amen?
Amen.
So, Solomon comes along, builds a temple, but Israel, it started deteriorating because people are starting to turn away from God. No longer is God allowed to be in control. You know, one time they were governed by judges, not kings. And the judges were strictly from God. Could you imagine? Actually, today, when we've mentioned, if today, no matter how old you are, if you listen to God and His Word, from the minute you can start hearing and understanding, and you followed that word, how much different would your life would have been? I think it might have been a lot different. Amen? Just think of that. Wow. How many of us, if we could go back, if we could turn back time... Oh, never mind. If we could turn back time and start forward again, that word of God, and doing what it says to do, or not doing what it says. How many of us will want to do that? Some of us will, some of us not quite sure. Remember some of them Saturday nights in the 60s? Okay. Remember what they said, if you remember the 60s, you did not live through the 60s, because nobody remembers that era, okay? But here we are, Israel. Governed by the word of God through judges, but their eyeballs was looking over here instead of the things that God was given. That's what happened. Sort of happened with Solomon, even David. Everything. God was governing them. Everything was awesome. But their eyeballs kept wandering over here into the world. I know this is a wall, but to me it's the crazy things in the world, okay? For some of us, I'm looking out at the old gay 90s, okay? Cat blues, where you want. Things in the world started to entice them. So they said, wait a second. We want to be like the world. We want kings. So what did God do? Gave him a king. King Saul. First king of Israel. He didn't do too well, did he? Jealousy and pride into him. So here comes David. We come along, David. Jealousy, pride, adultery, murder. That wasn't too good, was it? Here comes Solomon. And look, we don't get too far into being kings. Israel is completely corrupt and they turn away from God. In fact, a civil war takes place. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And they break apart. Israel itself is corrupted now. It's worshiping false gods. And then the other part is called Judah. And Judah stays with the word of God. Amen? And that's where our master come from. Jesus come from the tribe of Judah. Okay? And God's word tells us, and I'm going to really chop up some king's names here probably. But he says, this time,
We won't be able to help you anyway.
I know. I have no excuse today either. I got my teeth glued in, so I can't save my teeth slips. So. But Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. He reigned 6 years as Tezra. Now, don't try to memorize these names. They'll never come up in a test. And verse 24, chapter 16. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, and that's kind of... I had you in the right chapter, but the verse is kind of important. And he bought the hill, Samaria, from Shinar for 2 talents of silver, and he built on the hill and named the city which he built, Samaria, after the name of Shinar, the owner of the hill. So we have this king bought a hill and built this town on top of it. And verse 25 says, and Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord. So this king done evil in the sight of God and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. Now, see how far we're gone now? We're several hundred years into this. He's more wicked than David, and David had a heart after God. Solomon, it keeps going down. He said, this is the most wicked king that had ever reigned over Israel. For he walked in all the ways of Jeshaphom, the son of Nemat, and in his sins which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel with their idols. So they have every idol you think of. They worship all these false gods in Israel. So now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did and his might, which he showed, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his father and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, became king in his place. So this guy died, this king who was worse than the king before him, his father, he died, and now we have his son Ahab becomes king of Israel. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria, 22 years. So we see right now, we still got the same king in Judah, right? The one that's kept God. Yep. But they keep going back and forth on the evil side here, right? And Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Now listen, this guy's getting worse. Have you ever looked around and said, man, things can never get any worse? And they get worse? You ever say, man, I've seen it all, and you really haven't seen it all? Man, have you looked at stuff, and man, that stuff, I can't believe. Wow. I mean, folks, look at it today. I mean, as an example I've used before, back in the 60s, there was a group called the Rolling Stones, okay? Which are still alive today, okay? But, man, they were, don't talk about them. Kids don't listen to the music. Parents follow the children. They're taboo. Leave them alone. And what did we do a few years ago? They were the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl where every kid and every person would be watching. Wow, that's not that bad. Come on! Face it, where did our drugs come from? Right. What brought it in? Folks, the Beatles, Rolling Stone, all that stuff is what brought it in. Now, in America, well, man, if we just hear the Rolling Stones, that's better than listening to some of the beating their head against the walls. My question, if the Lord would tarry, what's it going to be like in 10 years? I have to confess, I mean, I've been a pastor around almost 15 years. I'm a retired cop. I can pull in some on 7th Street, there's a convenience store. I can pull in there to get a cup of coffee and somebody pull inside, up beside me, the window's down. And this, I don't know, grunge music?
Grunge,
okay. Folks, in 2 seconds, I'm ready to destroy somebody. I mean, can you imagine? We have a generation living on that stuff and we wonder why in the world are things so bad. I don't want to know what's going to happen in 10 years. Whenever they say that music was the good old days, wow. And the music we talk about destroying people, chopping people up, murdering people. Wow! We won't go into the part that we're buying some of that stuff for our kids and grandkids. We'll leave that alone for another day, okay? But here we are. He is more evil. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. I always say that word wrong. Jeroboam. Yeah, the son of Nebat. That he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Sidians, and went to serve Baal and worship him. It's not bad enough how bad he is. Now he's going to go to another land and marry a wicked king's daughter and bring her back with him. Wow, let's stir a little bit more. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, what's that? Ahiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid his foundation with the loss of Abram, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So, we're getting ready to step into chapter 17. This is where we're at right now. The most wickedest person in the world is now in charge. Terrible. Things where Israel once was with God is gone. Man. You think, well, why would somebody do something? You ever think of that? You ever think of that sometimes? You see something going on? I just wish somebody would do something about it. We sometimes say about our schools. I wish somebody would get in that school board and change things. Well, I'm telling you what, it's awesome because in Coshocton, you guys are doing that. I mean, we have the Fellowship of Christian Athletes now in all the schools in Coshocton. And just Thursday night, the Riverview School District voted at Conesville to allow the two upper grades, 5th and 6th grade students, when they have free time, their recess or whatever, they can get across the street to the Conesville Methodist Church and hear about Jesus. Woo-hoo! Give God a hand for that! Think of that. And that pastor comes here on Wednesday nights of Bible study. We've been interceding. All the churches have been praying for this. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So when we say, hey, somebody needs to do something, man, we're doing something about that. Amen. One of them, we didn't lose it all in a day, but we're going to gain it back piece by piece. Man, that is fantastic. So here we go. Got the most wicked king in the world. And I think every day he tries, how much more wicked can I get? And we think, well, I'm pulling wings off of butterflies. Yes, well, how much more wicked can we get to that? Man will find a way, right? So, who wants to go in front of the king? I say, hey, king! You're evil! You're no good! I don't know if anybody wants to volunteer offhand. Think of that. But chapter 17, we're going to meet a guy. His name is Elijah. Now Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Chith, which is east of the Jordan. And it came, and it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook Chith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. Elijah, come from? He is never spoken about to that moment. Boom. And the first thing he does, he speaks to the most wicked person in the world, telling them what's going to take place. You know who his mama was? Nobody has no idea. Mom was never mentioned. Believed to be a Jewish family. His dad's name was Sadiq, something like that. Not famous either. But all of a sudden, Elijah shows up and speaks God's word. So out there, maybe at this time, there could have been a mama, no name mama. And my boy, will you ever amount to anything? To me, I picture Elijah, and it might just be me, but I kind of picture him kind of like Willie Nelson. Long hair, you know what I'm saying? Long hair, and just kind of, I don't know why I picture that. You guys might have a different picture, okay? But there's an unknown mama out there, raised her son, had no idea what he's going to come up to be. I don't know whether mama's even alive at this time. But think that mama gave birth to Elijah. And God had a plan and purpose for that. Whether mama ever seen this take place, I don't know. Maybe somebody might be more scholars. I read a lot of commentaries and stuff, you know. So someone here might say, well, yes, they had a birthday party when he turned 90. I have no idea. But look at this took place. Elijah is now speaking to the king of Israel, being used by God in a mighty way. Where was he at the day before or 2 days before? He might have been down here working at a craft company. He might have been pumping gas. He might have been out on the street somewhere. I don't know. But God had a plan and purpose with him from the very beginning. And somehow, he heard God's voice, did he not? Mm-hmm. So moms, just because your kid hasn't done what you think they ought to be doing, don't write them off. And moms, don't write yourself off. Quit blaming yourself for every mistake your children makes and everything that they get involved in. Say, if I quit that. We'll see in the scriptures. You're in the house of God today. God can do wonders. They're playing mama. God can do wonders to a mom who picked God first. And you did that today. You all could be somewhere else right now. But before you get there, you stopped in for God. That makes a difference in lives. And you're going to find that out today. Which you probably already know anyway, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, after giving this message, God said, I'm going to hide you for a while. Go over here. I don't think it took me too long to get out of town. You know what I'm saying? I delivered the message. God said, go over here. I'm going to put you in this cave. I'm going to feed you. You got water. I'm boogering. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. Then, in verse 8 of chapter 17, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go, here we go, Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, let's stop there a second. I want you to understand what's going on. He just left Ahab, the most wicked king, delivered a message. God put him in this place where he's got food, he's got water. I imagine it's beautiful. In my mind, I see a babbling brook. Anybody else see a babbling brook? Green. I see dandelions, daisies, and stuff like that. Oh, man, it's great to be a man of God. Man, I do what God wants me to do. God is taking care of me. Wow. It's awesome. Then he's like, okay, Time to move. Because remember, a drought just came upon the territory, okay? Things are drying up. And it shows us right there, as we continue to follow God, even in times of drought, God will provide for our needs. Think of that. The world's going to go through some stuff. God's love has never stopped for His people. He didn't appreciate the rebellion, but the love that He has for them didn't stop. He needed to get their attention. What's the best way to get people's attention? Love. Take away their livelihood. And back then, we were raising stuff all the time. If I want to get your attention, I'll walk out here right now and grab every one of you guys' wallets. Oh, no. We've got dinner. I'm going to do this. Boom. Okay. And it'd be each one of your wallets. Whether you're a Christian or not. Well, I'm a Christian. Give it here. But see, that's what's taking place in the land. God takes Elijah and provides for him. He's got shelter, a cave, he's got water, and he's got meat to eat. And folks, he'll do the same for us. As we pray for our country, we can see the wickedness trying to take over our nation, and we're praying for it, to be delivered from the hands of the evil. God might have to bring this country through some tough times, understand? But where's our heart at? Is our heart more for the souls to be born again and in heaven when the day comes? Or is it more for us to live in comfortable things, let everybody else go to hell just as long as we have the comfort? Okay? I know our hearts is, God, whatever it takes. And the people we brought to you, because this on this earth, if you can see it right now, it's temporary. It's going to be temporary. But the things unseen is forever. Think of that. But I see Elijah, okay man, the world's going bad right now. He's kicked back. I see him in this cave. Got his brick water. He's eating his meat. And God's okay, it's time to move on. Times are tough. I want you to go. How do you say that again? Zarephath, thank you. There's a guy, never mind. Zarephath is in Sidon, which is controlled by his father-in-law. Another wicked one. He's the father of Jezebel. So he's going to jump, what we say, out of fire, bang, into the fire. Can you make God? Come on, God. Are you sure? You sure you want me to go there? I already did one thing for you, and we're not done yet. Because we know as a Christian, it's not about us anymore, amen? It's about other people. And Elijah, he trusts God. So he gets up and he takes off, and it's just about a 7 or 10 day walk. Something might be about 100 miles or a little less. But he had to walk. I mean, again, the brook's done, the meat's done. He has to go to this widow lady. That's where he needs to go. So, it says here, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, give me a little water in a jug that I may drink. Can you imagine walking her 7 days? I need some water. I need some water, okay? And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. Behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die. Wow, what a sad place. I mean, this is Elijah. Brought there to survive. Now, I imagine, okay, God, this lady's going to feed me. Hey, something wrong. She's going to feed her kid and die. And look where the mama has no hope right now. Has no hope. And this man of God speaking to her. Feed me. But he says this to her. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from us first and bring it out to me. And after afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So here's the word of God coming to her. Saying, listen. Yeah, do what you give to God first. Listen to God. Obey God. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to run out of flour. You're not going to run out of oil. Wow. So here's the dilemma. I don't know. Do I make this little pancake and at least feed my son? At least my son has something in his belly before he dies. Can I at least have my one last nurturing of the mama and feed him? Or do I do what God says? This man says, this man of God, God's telling me if I give him, he'll go supply me more than I can ever think of. Is that not a tough decision? Seriously, don't get religious on me. That's tough. You're facing a choice. Feed your kid or obey God. Well, we know if we feed our kid, do what we want to do, the kid's going to die, right?
Yeah.
So you might say, what do I got to lose? So she decided to step out and not do what she felt like she wanted to do, be obedient to God and do what God says to do. And folks, we are challenged with that every day, are we not? Things of the world. Can you see the kid? Mom, feed me! You told me you're going to feed me first! Come on! Not now. We're going to feed this man. No, Mom, I want. Hey, listen. God told us, if we just do this, honey, we'll have pancakes tomorrow morning. We'll have pancakes the next day. But Mom! Folks, how many times do we go through it right now in the world? Your kids come to you and say, Mom, I need this, and it's against God. And we say, no, that's not of God. We can't do that. Mom, how many times do we give in because we get sick and tired of hearing the argument? If I have peace and quiet in my home, I give anything. But would you want to really give your child over to Satan forever? No. Hang in there, moms. Hang in there. God is with you. As you have put Him in your life, stand on the Word. Your kids kids have been the same forever. When we're young, we don't understand. We need that guidance. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if kids ran the world? Don't laugh at some of you guys. Your kids run your life. They run your life. They tell you what you're going to do. Where you're going to go. What you're going to watch on TV. What bills you going to pay? What TV show you going to watch? Who are you going to date? Who are you going to talk to? They're running your role already. Guys, stand up. Be a parent. Take control before you lose it all. But he says, as you do that, I shall go with you. I will provide for you. And someday, that child will look back and realize you didn't hate them. They're going to realize the love that you have for them. And they're going to embrace you and say, thank you. Forgive me. And you look at them and say, that's okay. I was the same way when I was your age. I'm telling you guys. It ain't easy for your mamas and dads, any parents. But I'm telling you. This thing is real. This thing is serious. There's a God that loves us. Cares for us. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But it's real. Very unpopular to be a parent nowadays if you're going to be a parent according to the Word of God. But remember this, guys. God did not call you to be your kids' friends. You're called to be their parent. Called to be their parents. And it's really difficult. I'm not saying you can't be friendly to your kids. But to be more of a friend than you are a parent, you're doing your children wrong. I can tell you, my teachers in school, I had one teacher that paddled me. paddle Starkey Lawrence? How dare him? You know who I am?
Just one.
Just one. Yeah, only took one time. And I have the most respect for that man. I look back and the teacher let me smoke in their class by the window. The teachers, I didn't show up, they didn't care. They didn't care about me. No. But the one who in front of everyone took a paddle and beat me. Paddle me.
How old were you?
Wow. I was 16 years old.
16?
I was 16. Can you imagine paddling a mouthy 16-year-old long-haired bell-bottom punk?
I got paddled.
He did. Because he knew he took on a job, and that was to raise, teach us. And I thank him so much for it. At the time, I didn't. But I look back now, I speak very highly of him. Man, he just really shaped my life. So here we are, let's catch back up with him. He said, but the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, or the jar of oil be empty. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, which is the word of God. And she and he and her household ate for many, many days. Wow! God didn't lie to him, did they?
Right.
No! The bowl of fire was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through Elijah. If you have a Bible, this is God's word. God's word written, documented for you and me. That word is not a lie, it's not a fable, it is a truth. And you can bet your life on it, you can count your life on it, you can raise your life on it, you can raise your children on it, knowing that God is true. We see that even as a believer in God, that we're going to go through some times. But we're going through some times, amen?
Amen.
Now, my last point's coming now, so hang in there. Verse 17. Now remember, mama making pancakes every morning for the kid. Man, or probably feeding some of the neighbors. I see in my mind a long alley, and there's any place in town we got pancakes 24 hours a day. Okay, well known. Man, thank you. I can see her say, oh man, Elijah, thank you, man. I was kind of nervous when you told me what God said to do, you know, come on. Elijah, oh, I understand. I can see this happiness in her house because she obeyed God. Verse 17. Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. He died. So, she went to Elijah. The mama went to Elijah, the one who spoke the word of God into him. What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death. Look how quick she had changed. Because she don't understand yet. Woman, hey, thank you, save my son's life now. You say, you brought my sins to the attention of God, and because of that, my son's dead. You brought this into my house. You know what happened to you? You do some guilt with somebody, and it backfires, and they blame you? My wife does it all the time, blames my best friend for introducing us. It wasn't for you. But here we are. She's dead, and she's blaming Elijah. But Elijah said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he had been staying and laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die? Now I see Elijah saying this like, okay, did you? Knowing that he did not.
What?
Amen? He's saying, okay, God, did you really? She's blaming you, God. Did you? He knows God didn't. That's the way my spirit reads it. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's life return to him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. She's saying, I know that you're a man of God, and God's word is true. The son came back to life. So let's back up. From the very beginning, we have a lady and her son living in a house. Times are tough. She needs help. She needs more help when she realizes it this time. God sends Elijah, speaking to a king, hiding in a rock, walking across desolate territory for a week, parched, hardly can move, needs water, needs food. The mama agrees to obey God, feeds Elijah, and her sons die. God knew that Elijah had to be there. Think of that. Look at all the things that God had to work out in order to have the man of God there to bring her son back to life. God did not kill the son. The son was going to die. God knew that. I truly believe that. He knew that, and he knew the widow needed... Man, when you're a widow, you need your kids in order to keep going. Amen? Think of that. You need that. That was part of it. You take care of your mother. You take care of your father. And so God lined all these things up to have Elijah there the moment mama needed him to bring the child back to life. And sometimes we don't understand the things that we go through. We don't understand the dry spells we go through. We don't understand why this is taking place. But see, God is lining things up. Look what happened to this lady's son when she put God first in her life. I don't know how old the son was. I don't know that much about her background. But when she put God first in her life, he changed the outcome of her child. Amen? And God the same way today, ladies. You're putting God first. You're here today. And I don't care where your children's at today. As you put God first, he has a way of changing the outcome of your children. And I don't talk to, I won't talk to every individual today. I don't know where you come from right now. I don't know your background. But the same as you put God first, you allow him to change the outcome. What you see today is not the finished product. You looked in the mirror this morning before you come to church. That's not your finished project yet. God is still working on you. Allow him in your life and just be obedient and learn to trust him. Scary? Yes. Difficult? Can be. But when you know that there's only one person that cares enough for you to go to the cross and pay the penalty of your sins. Only one person that was willing to lay down and raise up again. Raise up. And redeem you from your sins. Only one person, only Jehovah, loves you like no one else does. And when you know that, you'll have no more problems putting God first. Amen. Please look around you. Look sideways, upside down. Now, I hear this all the time. If you want to know who your friends are, go to jail. Yeah. Go to jail and see who comes to visit you. Whoever shows up, they care for you. So go through a tough time. Get your name spotted all over the front page of the paper and see who comes alongside of you. I'm telling you what, our God said he'll never forsake you or leave you. You can't get any better than that. Amen? But know that God loves you and cares for you. And ladies, don't look where you're coming from. Look where you're going. And look at the promise we have of God, man. The differences you're making in your children's life. You say, well, this is my first day ever going to church. Well, praise God. Elijah's mama, the widow might be the first time she really obeyed God. I believe there's a God. Hey, we get along all right. And he says on his part, I do my part. But man, when she stepped out of her face and did what God said to do, look how it started changing her life and the life of her child. The lady, she is not over with yet. Hang in there. God isn't done yet. And sometimes the toughest things to go through where God does the most work, trusting in Him. He loves you and cares for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is awesome.